In Dick's prayer, he just mentioned about preparing our hearts for this Lord's Supper. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, because this passage gives us some specific instruction as to how to prepare our hearts. I want to focus on one word. We don't have time, of course, to develop the whole passage, but just one word this morning. And it is taken from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 29. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. There's our word, discerning. You say, what does that mean? He says, as we this morning partake of the bread and the cup, we are to be careful to do it in the right spirit and to have a discerning spirit. The word discern means to separate, to distinguish. So, what our Lord is saying is, this piece of bread, this juice must be distinguished from just any piece of bread or juice in the sense that today at this service, this has symbolism. This symbolizes our Lord's body and his blood. It is not his body and his blood. That took place on the cross a couple thousand years ago. But this is a symbol. So we are to discern. That is, when you partake of this, you just don't stick it in your mouth and don't think about it. This pictures our Lord's body, which he took when he came into this world for the purpose of dying on the cross for our sins, to save our souls from hell and take us to heaven. Oh my goodness. And his blood was shed. We're saved by the blood of Christ. So that's what it means to have a discerning spirit, simply recognizing or distinguishing the symbolism of these two elements that we will partake of. Now, with that in mind, I just want to say a brief prayer, and then I have several thoughts to share with you about the Lord's table. Our Father, having read this verse and thinking about the importance of what it just said to us, you gave these instructions to the Apostle Paul by the Spirit of God, and they are preserved in the Word of God so that every time we come to this service, we will pause and pray, first of all, to make sure that our hearts are right with you. We may know you, but not be walking in fellowship with you. Lord, we don't want to partake of this if we're not walking in fellowship with you. And so we pray, if that's the case for somebody here today, may they love and respect you enough that they just do not partake this morning until they get things right in their heart and life. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to remember you. And as even as I prayed early this morning when I got up, to help me as a pastor to set forth before your people the significance of these elements and the amazing grace of God in sending his son, your Son, to save our souls. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you have your Bibles open already to 1 Corinthians. I have just four simple thoughts today. In fact, 1 Corinthians refers to this particular ordinance. We call this an ordinance, the Lord's Supper. It refers to it in four different ways in Corinthians. Let me show you the first one. And we use these words interchangeably. You're in 1 Corinthians. Would you turn the page back to chapter 10? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ, and the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Notice, he uses the word communion. Sometimes we refer to this as, oh, we're going to have a communion service today. We refer to this ordinance as communion. That's biblical. This is where it comes from. What he said was, when we drink of the cup, we are sharing, because the word communion literally means to share together. So if we have communion, we're sharing together something. He says, when we drink the cup, we are sharing the blessing that comes from what the blood of Jesus Christ has done for us. And when we break the bread or partake of the bread, we are sharing in the blessing that comes from what the broken body of Christ on the cross has done for us. So it's called communion. It's a sharing. This reminds us, God shared his Son with us by sending him to die for our sins. So this is a communion service. Look at the 17th verse. For we, he says, for, he connects the thought, we, though many, are one bread and one body. For we all partake of that one bread. Oh, now he says, off of verse 16, he connects this thought about communion, sharing, and he says, we, though we are many people, are one bread and one body, for we all partake. What is he saying? It is a way for all of us to share together the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. That's why, did you notice I said at the beginning of the service, I want us to eat and drink together. I think this is a good biblical basis for it. We're sharing together. We are many, but we are all one, a part of his body. And so there's that communion or sharing together. Before I give you the other words, I would like for us, and if you'll turn the cup over and simply pull back the little piece, and we remember that this little wafer, we are going to now distinguish it in a sense. This is picturing our Lord's body. It's already been broken off of other pieces, so it speaks of his broken body on the cross. Let's all eat together. We have special music this morning. Rob Ritzenthaler, who is over here, and by the way, he and Grace are going to be hosting the young adults on Saturday morning. All of you young adults, mark it, 10 o'clock next Saturday. We'll be at their house. Please come. And I've asked him on Saturday just to share a word of testimony so that we can get to know him and grace. I like to see the young people get to know the older people and the older people the young people. I think that's extremely important. So we appreciate Rob's commitment to the Lord first, and then we've always been blessed by his music. So Rob, would you come and sing for us at this time? This is a communion service. It speaks of God sharing the Lord Jesus with us, and us together as a part of his body observing communion. The Bible also uses other terminology to describe this ordinance. Now if you will look in your Bibles at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, notice verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Did you notice, he says, you cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. This is where we get the terminology. And sometimes people say to me, do you have the Lord's table this week? Yes, we do. In the service, we're going to have the Lord's table. This is the Lord's table. To sit down at a meal with someone is a way to enter into a relationship with them, or to express that relationship with them. So if you invite somebody over for dinner, you already know them, but you say, you often, or I've said it, I just like to get you to know you better. Notice, it's a way to get to know someone better, to express a relationship. That verse said, you can't be a guest and come to the Lord's table and then be a guest and go to the table of demons. Now, why did the Apostle Paul say that to the church at Corinth? Because in the city of Corinth, there were these huge, majestic temples to all kinds of gods. Many of the people in the church at Corinth had professed faith in Christ. It used to be that they went to those temples and they brought sacrifices. And by the way, they would bring the sacrifice. Usually there was a little bit of meat left over. Sometimes the priest at that temple was allowed to partake of the meat. Sometimes you could maybe take some of the meat home with you. And some of the meat that was left over in those temples was taken to the marketplace and sold at a discount. This is causing a problem in the church at Corinth. Because you say, well, why did he say to them, you can't go and participate at a table with demons? It's because some of them were not separating themselves from the temple where they had gone, and now they're coming to the church saying they know the Lord and coming to the Lord's table, but then next Saturday they're out at the temple over here. And by the way, those temples had big courts where you could get together and eat. I think you can see why there is some confusion. The Spirit of God is very clear. You cannot continue to go to those temples because that's where you're actually worshiping demons, and then turn around and come here on Sunday and partake of the Lord's table. You have to make a choice. You can't live in two worlds. We all remember we have been saved out of this world and brought into the body of Christ. So how significant that he says to them, This ordinance is the Lord's table. Let me give you third terminology. Turn to 1 Corinthians 11. Look at verse 17. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you. I've already prefaced this and told you the confusion going on, since you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. First of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And in part, I believe it. There must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Verse 20, therefore, when you come together in one place, that would mean church. That's what we just did. We've come together in one place to meet as a church. It's not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in eating, each one of you is taking his own supper ahead of others. One's hungry, the other is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in, or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. But notice he makes reference talking about the Lord's Supper. And sometimes we call this the Lord's Supper. And he says, this isn't the same as your supper at home. What you're doing, the attitude that you have, he says to these people, you're acting like it's your supper at home. That's not the Lord's Supper. This is meaningful. This is special. This is to be distinguished. You need to have discernment as to what this represents. So that's where all that comes from. Interesting, there's a lot of study to this particular subject of the Lord's table and all the arguments and divisions that were going on. How sad. Now, there's one more word that is often used in reference to this ordinance, but we don't use it. At least typically we don't. And I'm not saying we should or shouldn't. I'm just going to tell you what it is and where it comes from. I have had on many occasions over the years a person who visits the church. Maybe they come to a church service or two, because we don't observe the Lord's table every Sunday, usually once a month, usually on the first Sunday of the month. That's why we're doing it today. And when I get together with a person, I say, you have any questions you'd like to ask about the church? And so many times a person has said to me, you know, I just was kind of interested, Pastor. Do you not observe the Eucharist? Now, because I know a little bit about church history, I know why they're saying that. I usually then say to them, I'm just asking, what is your church background? I said, well, I was raised in the Catholic Church. I know the Lord is my Savior, but I've gone to church and do you not observe Eucharist? What are they referring to? They're referring to this, the Eucharist. That's terminology generally used by the Roman Catholic Church, and it developed in church history. But let me show you that the word is not such, because I didn't grow up with that word. And so at first, if I heard that word, I thought, that's not good terminology. And then somebody asked me one day, well, don't you know what that word means? And I said, well, I don't think so. I guess I know what the Roman Catholic Church teaches. Let me show you the word. You're in 1 Corinthians 11? Let me start at verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do, now notice why, in remembrance of me." Not to get to heaven, not to contribute to our salvation, but to remember our Lord. In the same manner also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it." Notice again, he repeats it, "in remembrance of me." So if somebody says, what does this, is this part of our salvation? No. This is how we remember our Lord. But here's what I want you to see. The word Eucharist is in this passage, where it says, verse 24, "And when Jesus had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" The word Eucharist means thanks. So in a sense, if I said, you know, we're going to observe the Eucharist, there's not anything wrong with that. What the person is saying, Catholic or not Catholic, oh, we're going to observe the Eucharist. We're going to give thanks to God for his Son. So that's the fourth term that is used for this particular ordinance. I just thought that might be helpful to all of us to understand this and to appreciate, because I know many of you for many years have observed communion, the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, and maybe this helps you a little. So, we do thank you, Lord. We know this cup pictures your blood, which was shed for the remission of our sins. Thank you, Lord. And let's all partake of the cup together. And I'd like for Lee to come and lead us.